page 132. Sort of the paragraph. the section in the section 5, so we're going to quote Shakyamuni Buddha's analogy. Harmonious listening of universe. Within this harmonious rhythm of universe, the moon, the clouds come into existence, shore, the board come into existence simultaneously. So that the Shakyamuni Buddha's analogy is pretty often misunderstood by many people, but Dogen Zenji emphasizes that we should pay attention to this analogy, what it means. So I think Buddha Shakyamuni pay attention to total harmoniousness of the universe. before germination of our thoughts and concept, whatever it is. But simultaneously it is a phenomenon. That's why a little bit confusion there, because we don't know how did that harmonious rhythm of universe can appear in the human world as a form. We don't know. It's simultaneously. It's that. So it's very confused for us. But anyway, through the Zen, through the everyday life, I think if you continue practice like this, I think you will be able to see through this profound, deep, harmonious rhythm of the universe in which all sentient beings are interfused together simultaneously and live in peace and harmony. That is a point Shakyamuni Buddha mentions and also Dogen Zenji mentions. So let's see third paragraph. When you study someone's movement, the movement is not merely starting or stopping. That's why this moving of the stars, of the moon, of the clouds are not usual movement we have understood. So the movement in the usual sense is something start to move or something start to stop, something like that. Stop and start, always there. But this is not true meaning of the movement in terms of the profound harmonious rhythm of universe in which all sentient beings are interfused together, create their own life in peace and harmony. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentioned what we have to study about this movement is not merely starting or stopping. The movement that starts or stops is not that person's. It's not person's movement, okay? We see. Okay? It is not the concept of the movement in terms of physics and biology, anyway. It's not kind of a development, concept of the development in terms of biology, in terms of physics. Do not take up starting or stopping and regard it as a person's movement. It is not true meaning of person's movement. Person's movement is simultaneously harmonious, profound movement, rhythm of the universe. So which is going beyond usual sense of movement, we have believed. So that's why Dogen then says here, do not take up starting or stopping and regard it as the person's movement. The clouds flying, the moons traveling, the boats going, and the shores moving are all like this. So that movement is completely beyond stopping or starting. Means eternally it's moving. And all circumstances moving, constantly moving. Simultaneously that moving is stillness. That stillness simultaneously moving, that kind of thing, okay? So that's where beyond starting or stopping. So if I say, if you use the term eternal movement, maybe you can say, or we can say profound harmonious movement. In the later, so we can use, look at the page 133. The last sentence, creating wind and the stream, the moons are as they are. Did you find? Creating wind and the stream means, is called in Japanese, Hūryū, Hū is a wind. The Ryū means a stream. So that is human behavior which is profoundly elegant. Okay? Profoundly elegant and refined taste. Very fine taste. Without attaching to the form, but without ignoring the form. Using the form, but they don't attach to the form. So very naturally their life is moving very elegantly, very elegant. Just like a ball roaring, just like a sports. When you see the football player, I think person, his body and the mind is constantly moving without any hesitation, without any the interference, okay, or a hindrances, but it's always moving just like a ball, without using any effort. Shakyamuni Buddha's life is just like that, you know. So he is living in the human world, walking hand in hand, but his behavior, his life is just like a wind and stream, which is very elegant. Just like a moving of your nerve, moving of your eyes. Your eyes moving very smoothly when you see the object exactly moving, following your object. Without making your effort, just exactly simultaneously it moves. With volition, if you say maybe a volition, because he cannot ignore the consciousness. Even the Buddha Shakyamuni ignore the consciousness. Okay? But even the consciousness working very smoothly, elegantly, in a very refined taste, just like eyeball, exactly moving very quietly, but exactly timely. Very timely, smooth. That is Buddha's life. That's why he follows the human shape and walking with all sentient beings, but his content, quality is different from ordinary people because his quality is Dharmakaya, the discipline of the existence which manifests itself in the process of the Buddha Shakyamuni's cognition. So always moving. This is called wind and stream. We call Huryu in Japanese. The term Huryu is used very often in the tea ceremony or flower arrangement, and in the any area of Japanese culture, they use very often Huryu. In the lifestyle of everyday life, also it is called Huryu. Sometimes color design of clothes and kimonos and designs of wrapping papers and or whatever it is that they you can designs and the colors all are sometimes called the refined taste texture of human creation. So called Huryu. So you can feel kind of freedom within the design, within the color. That's why the people feel relief, relax. So in music, for instance, music is not the usual music. You know, we believe if you listen to, you can feel relief. Something like that. We don't know what's the reason, why. But anyway, if you listen to it, you become very free of relief, and your mind, your body is moving just like a wind and stream. This is called Furyu, okay? We use Furyu of Zen Buddhism, Furyu of ancestors' life, etc. Means sometimes Furyu is translated as lifestyle. I don't know. The Thomas Crowley always translated as lifestyle, family style. For instance, the Furyu of Soto Zen. Furyu of Soto Zen means family style of Soto Zen, something like that. You translate it like this. I don't know family style. And anyway, that is family style should be based on some quality, you know, a spiritual quality. That is a Furyu. Well, anyway. So, he says, do not take up starting and stopping and regard it as a person's movement, clouds flying, the moons traveling, the boat going, and the shores moving, all like this. Do not foolishly be limited by a narrow view. Okay? Next, the clouds flying is not concerned with east and west, south or north. So clouds flying is not the usual movement. That's why it is always moving toward east and west without any partitions. Constantly moving, eternal moving. Before you see it. That is harmonious rhythm of universe, constantly rhythm. The life is rhythmical, very rhythmical. In other words, in my term, maybe the flow of a universe, universal life is just like a big sift. You know, it's moving, constantly moving. Now when the autumn comes and the very natural leaves are falls down and when the spring comes and dead trees falls down and start to the the green leaves comes up, the August silt is moving. That is huge silt. It's moving constantly. So if you make a mistake, you force down to the ground, but it shoots again. Mm-hmm. Because all things coming up, helping, all things in you. So temporarily you fall down to the ground and hurt. But always moving. So very naturally, grow again. So that's why I mentioned keep going. Just keep going. But just keep going is pretty hard practice for us. But nothing else. That's why we have to understand very deeply what is the universal structure.
Yes.
That is a big, huge set, moving constantly beyond your speculation. Under all circumstances, mistake, not mistake, moving, stopping, you know, human action is stopping, sleeping, it's moving, constantly moving. Even though you sleep, you don't act anything, but it's acting constantly. So from this point, the human being, the person cannot stop. Always moving. Okay? You are very quiet, and sitting zazen, it's moving. You sleep, nothing thinking, but the thinkable, but you think. So stop thinking is already moving. You're thinking moving. So always. So human action, if you want to live your life, I think you cannot stop at all. Whatever you do, sitting on a chair quietly, it's moving. It is action. It is moving. So at any cost, we always moving. Constantly. This is the original nature of your life. But according to the common sense, we sit on a chair, that is called moving stops. But I don't think so. Action. In terms of universal rhythm of harmonious rhythm of universe, I think it's constantly moving. So very naturally, your life is based on that rhythm of universe. So it's moving. That's where you can see the moving. That's where you can survive. Okay, so the clouds flying is not concerned with east, west, south, or north. The moon's traveling has not ceased day or night from ancient times to the present. From the beginning of the world to the end, any time before the beginning of the world, everything is moving, constantly moving. So that is it says, okay? So do not forget this one. Don't forget this one anyway. So if you understand this one, it becomes very great encouragement for you. You can keep going anyway. Even though in the process of keep going, still up and down, you can see the shadow of up and down, but still you can't change your pace. Just going. It's hard. That's why we try to keep going with prayer. Prayer comes from, anyway, the incipience of feeling. When you touch the incipient of feeling, then prayer coming up. Because incipience of feeling cannot be described and untouchable. It is really untouchable, but you can see it, you can taste it. That's why very naturally keep going. You have to keep going. Deep in your heart that tells you, just keep going. But actually, you can see the shadow of the up and down, always. That's why it's pretty hard. That's why in your heart knows there is profound harmonious rhythm of universe. This is my life. So let's go. That is then from that bottom of your universe. the prayer coming up. The flow of universal life appears in the surface of your life. It becomes sometimes prayer. It becomes sometimes total concentration or just devotion, something like that. Many ways it appears. Okay? So that's why it's with the prayer. Let's do it. Prayer itself doesn't make sense for us. But anyway, with prayer, with great hope, let's do it. We don't understand the absolute certainty, but anyway, we should realize the profound rhythmical flow of universal life, lasting coming from the long past, beginningless past. Anyway, so let's be. Let's live like this. So that's why he says, don't forget this one. Don't forget this one. The boats going and shores moving are not bound by past, present, or future, but actualized past, present, future. And the profound rhythmical flow of universal life is never bound by concept of the time or space. It's moving, but it appears in the human world sometimes as a past, sometimes as a present, sometimes as a future. Then in that concept of the past, present, and future, we can see the lot, so-called up and down cycle of up and down, always. But basically, all we have to do is just write on that board, the big board, so called rhythmical universal rhythmical flow, harmonious flow of universal life. This is a huge board. You have to be right on. So full and not hungry just now is possible. I think I would like to change this translation. This being so, they are full and never hungry for a long time. Okay? I want to say like this. This being so, they are full and never hungry for a long time. Believe it or not. Anyway, our life, trees, birds, whatever, they are completely full and never hungry for a long time because we are always great vehicles. And it's not called Mahayana. It's one great vehicle. We are right there. That is constantly going from the beginningless past and this future. Whatever happens, always. This is a profound, harmonious flow of universal life. Okay? If you want to believe, if you want to have absolute certainty, this is exactly absolute certainty. Believe it. If you don't believe it, that's fine. But be on there. Be on the board. On that board. That is what? Sit down. That is exactly very simple practice. Mm-hmm. Sit down. This morning I mentioned, sit down exactly there. That is perfect certainty. You can get it immediately. But your head is always thinking something, and that time you don't believe it. But if you exactly oneness with your Zazen itself, that Zazen is exactly moving just like the profound flow of universal life, constant. That is absolute certainty for you.
That's why I say
your presence right now, right here, is great teaching, great method to teach, to guide people, to awaken to the truth. Now, it's a sitting zazen. It's a very simple practice for us. That's why on any course, the physically, mentally, we have to learn what the zazen is constantly. You have to research your zazen. Beyond the physical problem or mental problem, anyway, we try to learn, research, investigate. This being so, the army is aboard, and the shore, and the moons and the clouds, they are full and not never hungry for a long time. Okay? Is that clear? Is that all right? Foolish people think, next, the foolish people think that because clouds run, we see the immovable moon as a moving. And because a boat goes, we see the immovable shore as moving. This is a common sense. This is common sense. At that time, even though you see the shore moving, it is dualistic. So simultaneous life, simultaneous living with the mountain is not dualistic. So in Buddhism, we use the way of simultaneity, identity. We say identity or simultaneity, is that right? Simultaneity. Simultaneity or the... this is not the dualistic. I think simultaneity is a place where you can interfuse with all sentient beings. This is a place, so-called it is simultaneity, or identity, self-identity. Self-identity is exactly right in the middle of interfusion between the two, and then they confer their own life each other, helping each other. That is called self-identity. Okay? In the dualistic world, you cannot get the self-identity. When you run with a table, this table, and I, and then when you stand up in the same place, where table and I becomes interfused together, and that time I can find self-identity by help of this table. Table also can find self-identity by virtue of my help. That is called self-identity, so-called simultaneity. So when you simultaneity is place, opportunity, you just climb the mountain, just climb the rock. That time, this is simultaneity again. But if they are right, why did the Tathagata speak as he did? If we believe our common sense is right, why Tathagata Buddha Shakyamuni had to say like this? So, if we believe our understanding is right, I think the Tathagata's statement is something wrong. Right or wrong, beyond the right or wrong, if you believe in that way, the Tathagata statement is strange. I cannot believe it, that's fine. But beyond the right or wrong, well, the question is that you make one more effort to pay attention to the Tathagata's statement, why he said so. Okay? Or check once more again your views and your understanding, why I should believe my understanding is right. Once more again, this is important for us. Instead of immediately evaluate, judge that somebody's view or your own view. Anyway, once more again, we should check, investigate. Why? I said so. Why Buddha has to say, even though you don't understand it. In other words, devil. You know, we often start talking about the devils. Devils are wrong, something wrong, so we don't like it. But it is a fact. It is a reality that the devils exist with us. So beyond the good or bad, the right or wrong, there is one more effort we have to make. Why devils exist with us? This effort is very important for us. Instead of criticizing, instead of destroying, anyway, devils, and instead of arguing, anyway, we have to investigate. Why we have to hate the devils? Why we have to escape, avoid from, anyway, devils? Why? So, that's why you said, but if they are right, why did the Tathagata speak as he did? The meaning of Buddha Dharma cannot be measured by the narrow views of human or heavenly beings. But it is, of course, human beings can realize, okay, can realize. But in a sense, it's the universe, the profound, harmonious flow of universal life is something more than our description. Okay? Beyond our description. But it's going. But it's going with us, that's why we can touch it. We can taste it. If you taste it, you can manifest it in a world. But when you manifest it in a word, immediately it is something different from real, profound, deep flow of universal life. That's why it says beyond. It's beyond. But beyond doesn't mean far from us. It's with us. So beyond means pay attention once more again to real reality, true reality, okay? True reality, where you live it. So, that's why he says, the meaning of Buddha Dharma cannot be measured by the narrow views of human or heavenly beings. That's why we have to pay once more again to the reason why he says so. And also, we have to once more again pay attention to the reason why we believe our common sense. This is important for us. Instead of judging somebody's view according to the measure of good, bad, right, wrong. Okay, next. Although it is immeasurable, Buddha Dharma is practiced in accordance with one's capacity. I want to change here too. Although it is immeasurable, there is nothing but the practice in accordance with, I want to use opportunity instead of one's capacity. This original term has the meaning of capacity. But I think opportunity is more broad sense. Capacity is included in it. Person's capacity, and also many capacity there. countries, the parasites, etc., we can say. But our opportunity is a favorable occasion which everything will go well or going well. Okay? Opportunity is occasion. Occasion which we can change life our life will go well or will manifest ourselves in better way. Okay? That is opportunity. We have a lot of opportunity. Opportunity is completely free to everyone. Anyone can use opportunity. Is that right? Although it is immeasurable, it is immeasurable beyond your narrow views of human or heavenly beings, but if so, it is impossible to practice it? No. It is impossible to get it or taste it. Yes, there is a passage to it. What? It is a practice. There is only nothing but practice. In accordance of where is the practice exercised? Where is the practice made? That is an opportunity. Each single opportunity we encounter with. Okay? Opportunity is moment, time, we can say, space, time and space. When you are here, this is a great opportunity for you to manifest yourself as you truly are. So instead of you are completely tossed away by this opportunity, you should use the opportunity. In other words, you should devote yourself to jump into it. Not blindly. That's how we study anyway. So that is, although it is immeasurable, there are nothing but the practice in accordance with opportunity. This is a very important statement of practice. Only practice is a passage to go through to the next door. The next door means the profound flow of universal rhythm. You can go there. That is a passage. Passage to deal with opportunity. At that time, you can go somewhere. Even though you don't know, you can go. Natural. This is a practice. Okay? Action. So defined action. This is a practice. Okay? So you must be in the process of practice. Moving. Okay? Moving. This is a practice. So that practice is great passage for us to communicate with profound, harmonious flow of universal life. Who is unable to take up the board or soar over and over? Who is unable to see through the clouds or moon immediately? I want to change here too. Instead of immediately, I want to use with a sharp glance. Maybe as an English, it's a little bit awkward, but who is unable to see through the clouds or moon with a sharp glance? The glance. Okay? Instead of immediately. So it doesn't mean that to take up the board or shore or to see through the clouds or moon. Okay? If I say, please, see through the moon, you always try to stand up in the nature and look at the moon. Hey, moon, can I see you as it is? It doesn't mean that, okay? Of course, if you want to do, you can do it. But I think it means you have to see through, through the issue. The issue of harmonious but the profound flow of the universe, which board and shore interfuse together. Once you want to anyway, pay attention to that issue. So, how can you see the moon as it is? You want to mama, where is the moon? Stand up in the hotel and you can talk to the moon quietly. Sometimes you can scream to the moon. Moon doesn't matter. Anyway, that is fine. Just stand up. Whatever you want to do. Anyways, just stand up in the moon. If you want to talk, you can talk. If you want to keep silent, you can do it. Do that. Anyway, I believe you can participate in profound and harmonious flow of universal life through the moon. That is right. Just stand up here and look at the moon and talk if you want. So, profound and harmonious flow of universal life, sometimes speak, mama, appears as a murmuring, sometimes appears, sometimes as silence. It appears sometimes scream, because you have something deep inside, so you want to scream to the moon. Fine. It appears. So what is the moon? That's why moon is not the form of the moon you can see. Moon is profound, harmonious flow of the universe, appearing in many ways. Scream, your object, you want to scream, you want to talk with him, fine. Something more than form of the moon, okay? Form of the moon, just prayer. This is a shikan, just sitting, just standing in front of the moon. Alright, so next, you should know that the Tathagata's words do not make a metaphor of clouds for dumb suchness. I don't know how to translate it. Of the moon for dumb suchness, of the board for dumb suchness. You should know that the Tathagata's words do not make a metaphor of the clouds. There is nothing comparable, nothing describable to the clouds, about clouds, because clouds are beyond the metaphor. If you see the clouds in terms of poet, you can use it. But clouds and the moon is something more than that, because it is simultaneously a profound harmonious flow of universal life, which is constantly eternally moving. So nothing comparable to anything beyond metaphor. That's it says. For real meaning, true reality of the moon. If you want to talk about true meaning of the moon, true meaning of the clouds, but nothing, there is nothing comparable, nothing describable to or about it. You should quietly examine and penetrate this. So, quietly, anyway, you should examine, investigate what the moon is. Do you understand the moon? Yes. See, examine. Your answer, yes. If you say no, please examine quietly, but no. If you say nothing about the moon, fine. But please examine once more again, but nothing to say. Anywhere quietly, constantly, we have to investigate. That is the point. Because sankyu in Japanese, san means surrender. I mentioned all this, surrender. And kyu means consummation, and summit. Consummation. So you have to surrender to that consummate. This is called quietly examine. Okay? Quietly investigate consummate. But next, one step of the moon is the Tathagata's round for enlightenment. That's why one step of the moon means one movement of the moon means full moon. If you see that full moon, that is the one step of the moon. Is the Tathagata's round for enlightenment? I think the full moon has lots of quality, something more than your understanding. What is it? This is exactly profound, the harmonious flow of universal life. This is the quality of the full moon or half moon, because Buddha Shakyamuni realized that profound harmonious flow of universal life. That's why Tathagata's enlightenment. One step of the moon is Tathagata's round full enlightenment. Tathagata's round full enlightenment is motion of the moon. This is the motion of the moon. Tathagata's enlightenment is quality of his life. Quality of your life. This is a what? This is the motion of your five senses. The motion of your nose, motion of your consciousness. Motion of consciousness means motion of profound harmonious flow or unity. That is called the five, six consciousnesses, five senses. Next, not moving or stopping. This is not moving or stopping. Not going forward not or backward. Constantly moving in the same direction, everywhere. The moon's motion is not metaphor. It's not metaphor. Beyond metaphor. It is actualization of alone and full. This is called absolute perfection. Absolute enlargement. In the Zengi we say all pervading. All pervading. Originally, the all pervading, perfect and all pervading. You should know that even though the moon passes quickly, it is beyond the beginning, middle, or end. Thus, there is a first month moon and second month moon. That's why first month moon, half moon, or crescent moon is something more than your sense. Anyway, because beyond the beginning or middle or end, anyway, the moon is great being, infused together with all sentient beings, creating huge, a cohesive universe. This is the light, so-called universal light. Thus, there is, that's why it is called first month moon, this is called crescent moon, half moon, or dawn moon itself. Okay? That's why you say, thus, there is a first month moon and second month moon. The first and second are both the moon. You like, everything is a moon. All a moon. Right practice is the moon. So right practice is the moon. So there is nothing but the practice in accordance with opportunity. That practice is exactly something you can learn from the moon. So naturally, you should just stand up in front of the moon, and according to your opportunity, so-called personality. You can murmur, you can talk, you can silence, you can be silent, and then the moon anyway helps you. At that time, you can compose a poem. There's something beyond the poem, nothing to say, but you can taste it. Light practice is the moon. Light offering is the moon. Snapping the sleeves and walking any away is the moon. That comes from Koan. Hakujo, the master, walked with his disciple Seido and Joshi. You know, it should be Basso Zen Master. Basso Zen Master walked with his disciple. Seido, the master, and the Hyakujo, the master, and also Nansen, the master. Then at the full moon night, then they hear Basso, the master, stop at a certain place and think how wonderful full moon is. How do you say about the full moon? And then the Pharaoh says, it is great opportunity to practice. Then how about you? The Basso says, how about you? He said to the Hakujo Zen Master. Hakujo Zen Master, it is a great opportunity to offer, something material or spiritual, anyway, offer. Great opportunity to devote, to give your whole body and mind. Great opportunity, because there comes nice opportunity. And then Basso Zen Master says, how about you, Nansen? Nansen says, Nansen immediately snapping the sleeves on the left. Means it is a fool. Fool is just wind and stream. Nansen Zen Master didn't attach to any form. So called great opportunity to offer or to practice. He is exactly the one with the moon. And then that is nothing free, he flees and that. That is a story. See, this sentence comes from story. Okay? So that's why he says snapping the sleeves and walking away is the moon. So that snapping activity of snapping the sleeves is not something he did on purpose. It is natural. Naturally and profoundly, it's coming up. That's why I say studio. His activity is exactly studio. It's like a wind and the sea. Flow of wind, flow of sea. Like the second universe night. But if a Karagiri did in that way, it's funny. Mm-hmm. If I snap my sleeve and left, everyone laughs. So, I cannot imitate in a nonsense way. I have to manifest Karagiri as he really is, riding in front of the moon. How can I say Karagiri? So mama is fine. Mm-hmm. So keep silent, is fine. Or whatever you want, whatever Karagiri you want. Anyway, but that activity must be you. You know, just move to find the right thing. Matching well with, you know, the profound and harmonious soul, universal life, the soul being. Round and crescent are not the cycle of coming and going. Round and crescent, half moon, full moon, don't moon, are not cycle of coming and going. Coming and going means samsara. Everything is changing. The cycle of coming and going. The round and crescent, in other words, are not circulative phase or aspect of going and coming up and down, pros and cons, success and failure. It's just the crescent, and the full moon is just the full moon and crescent moon, manifesting total whole universe. That's why moon is beautiful. The moon itself creates this rhythm, so called fuyu, wind and stream. So that moon, the moons do and do not use coming and going. Go freely, grasp firmly coming and going, creating wind and stream. The moons are as they are. That's why the moons do and do not use coming and going. In other words, the moon cannot be tossed away by the cycle of the coming and going, pros and cons, success and failure. The moon uses perfectly. If I say the moon uses the perfectly universal rhythm, at that time you say moon and universal rhythm, yeah, the dualistically. But this is our understanding. So I think that's why the moons do and do not means beyond the using or not using. Anyway, moons, the moons exactly match well. Matches well with profound and harmonious flow of universal life. Okay? That's right. Next, he says, creating wind and stream. Shakyamuni Buddha's life is constantly creating or facilitate of the life flow of wind and the stream in peace and harmony. In other words, manifestation of this spring of existence in the process of his condition, his behavior, the harvest. This is Buddha's life. Okay, this is the end. Do you have a question?
Back to the previous paragraph.
Mm-hmm. Working, snapping the sleeves and walking away. That's what you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, the same. Nonsense. Snap the sleeve and walk away. Just he doesn't attach to the his behavior of snapping the sleeve either. And also he didn't attach to a great opportunity to offer or to practice either. He didn't attach. And also he didn't attach to his own behavior, so called snapping leave. That's why finally he walked away. This is a moon. That is a moon. Okay? So the third moon, the moon is very pure, very pure. The sun, the tree, nature, it's exactly like this. Okay. In the second paragraph, so line. What do you mean? That. Well, that is the whole concept of time and space, probably. It is always going up and down. It is the cycle of coming and going. This is the concept of time and space. But the real time and space, which exists exactly as they truly is, is something beyond concept of time and space. This is called time being, you see. Eternity is when you see, when you taste that true sense of true or real reality of the time and space beyond our concept. That time you can see some motion, some dynamical working there. And then you can see that is eternity, because it is going forever. It comes from beginningless, and also it's going endless. That's why we say, we put the name on it, eternity. In time, eternity is a unison. Eternity is a state of being in unison of time and space. So being time. Unison means the unity, okay? Interesting. There it is. Well, the I is self-identity. Self-identity exists already, you know. But the self-identity comes into existence by virtue of help of the universe life. That is the self-identity or interfusion, you say, okay? And then, when you think it, this is called jump. Yes. So it's the same.
tranquilo, se va
nothing real. The real thing is just moving.
Yes.
In the process of the moving, there are many beings. Kilos and yuans and thousand eyes, and many beings. The quality of self-identity is just moving. And then when you see it in terms of six consciousness, you say, I. That self-identity is self-existence. So you go far from that, the real self-identity. So self-identity is perfect. Self-identity is perfect, strictly speaking. Okay? Before you get self-identity, before you poke it into it, self-identity is perfect. Because it is a Buddha. We say, we are Buddha. Oh yes, according to the psychological point of view, maybe we can say jojo means incipience of feeling. It's not abstract. You can taste it. You can receive. You can accept that word, self-identity, in the true sense. With your body and mind, what would you call? This is called incipient of the feeling.
Incipient feeling is the same as self-identity?
Self-identity. Yes, it is. Wow. And for instance, wow. You know, I miss always wow. Wow is exactly great proof of your self-identity with moose. Okay. Without moose, you cannot get the, you cannot have a self-identity. So moose gives you opportunity to, gives the opportunity to have a self-identity. Okay? You understand? And also you can give opportunity to have a self-identity to the moose. That is a wow. Is that all right?
I just I've heard this allusion to like searching for a pillow at night before, and I think we usually understand it as looking for a pillow, and trying to find a pillow. You know, what you're saying is it's just the movement,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a pillow appears.
Yes.
As soon as we start to look
for the
we get
frustrated
because we can't find
it. Sure. Right. Mm-hmm. So, completely speaking, that means Avalokiteshvara's lifestyle is just as moving, okay? Moving, within the process of the moving, there are many beings, okay? Many beings, pillows, your arms. That means, students and teachers and gurus and enlightenment, many things. That's where you are, the causal, we say causal, the little boy, When you are a little boy, all you have to do is just be a little boy, with full activity, full devotion. And then, that full devotion leads you to, adult. Adult means grown up. A teacher. But when I was a student under my teacher, I always felt jealous, of my teacher because he's my teacher. He's always, he could do as he wanted to do, But I was completely kind of controlled by him, so I would like to be teach as soon as possible. So I didn't want to take care of causal, student, it's ridiculous, hard work, But a teacher always, I am tired today, so I want to take a nap. I said, please. But I said, please, but the inside is, I was mad at him. because I didn't want to deal with a student's life. So I would like to be a teacher. That is not Avalokiteshvara, a lifestyle. So all I have to do is, without expectation of becoming a teacher, all I have to do is I as a student must be the Avalokiteshvara. Means do it. And then maybe you can ask me, how can you be a teacher without expectation, without the hope of becoming a teacher? That is common sense, don't you think so? But it is a dualistic. But if you do it, if you become a Avalokiteshvara exactly, naturally, you become a teacher. That's why there are many beings there. Titos and your cushions and your toilet papers and boots and hair combs and many things around you. And then just moving, you're moving. Okay? Yeah, but Avalokiteshvara's life is just like this. And then sometimes you can get a calm. And then it's called temporarily say student, And then sometimes you can get the pillows. Oh, this is a teacher. Something like that. So many beings exist. So within that activity, total movement is a very pure movement. Within this, it facilitates development of your life, naturally. But we don't think in that way. We always think some hope in the future, and then let's go there. That is a dualistic. That's why all this up and down coming up. Is that clear? So you never be Avalokiteshvara. That's why there is no compassion and no kindness. Always you have to rush into the destination, kicking up everybody. That business, always they do. Well, good, you mean?
Well.
Yes, many times. Same thing. Yeah, same thing. That the incipience of feeling is the particular term I use, instead of akasha or emptiness and Buddha nature. Psychologically, I use this plain word. But it's exactly the same, because it is incipience, first stage, very first stage. Yes. 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 First step. So of course, Akasha is a vast open space. Okay? And on that end, incipience of feeling is. First step to get into the human world, but simultaneously that first step is also akasha. The dark. Mean to feel it. Yes. Yes, that's true. Yes. So you never taste. You never taste the if the akasha or the Buddha nature didn't appear in the human world. Okay, because that appearance of the seed, seed calls what to say, calls the Akasha and the Buddhist world mature, to be mature. In other words, to act, to be active. Okay? To be active. If it doesn't appear, it's dead. It's constantly moving. That's why the appearance in the human world is great, you know, energy, as a great source, you know, of causing the this to, you know, universal world to be active. Is that good? Sure. Great energy is, I think the, how can I say, the beyond your feeling, beyond your emotions, or by what you can take your life, you know, not take your life, but you can receive your life. Through your life, you can feel many things. But beyond your feelings, I think there is some energy to live. Beyond your experience, whatever you experience, good experience, bad experience, you always have some energy to live, to be. Anyway. Is that all right? But anyway, usually we see the energy in terms of our feeling. That's why when you are tired, you say, I don't have energy. You know? But that is the form of the energy going up and down, pros and cons, success and failure, always. But basically, energy is constantly moving. Is that all right? So from that point, I think Shakyamuni Buddha says, our effort never stop. Never stop. So our effort is constantly going. This is called true effort. Right effort.